Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shmuel Aleph Perek Chafei, and we finished yesterday the story of how there was an actual face-to-face confrontation of David and Shaul, in which very dramatically Shaul, for a moment, is restored to full sanity, expresses his love of David, calls him his son, begins to cry as if everything's gone back, recognizes that he's been acting as a fool, and what David has pointed out to him is that indeed he has been acting as a fool. I mean, if you're sitting there trying to catch a flea, is what he says. That's jumping from place to place. You end up looking really silly. Now, that's what I do. I jump from place to place. You're bringing out 3,000 people trying to kill a flea with an atom bomb. And the fact is, I'm going to keep jumping. This is just, you're making a fool of yourself. And indeed, he recognizes that this, actually some say a parosh isn't a flea. It's a bird that is part of the fun of noblemen. It's the kind of bird that flits very quickly from place to place. It's like a big deal to catch such a bird. That's what I am. So what is this, a little royal game that we're playing here? To keep catching the jumping David. Let's play. And indeed, Shaul says to him. Now, what we saw was also that, incredibly, after this meeting, Shaul doesn't change in the least. He goes back home, and in a way was telling David, look, well, nothing's going to change, but I know the end result of the game. So since you're going to win, can we at least make a deal that I don't get killed at the end of it, and my family isn't like that? I mean, that's a very funny thing to do. And what we saw was that it was very funny, but that there were indeed outside factors that were causing this to happen. One of the most stunning outside factors that, again, costs Avner his life is the fact that Avner told Shaul that, what does this prove? I understand. He probably found your baguette that you had ripped on a piece of barbed wire somewhere, comes running to turn himself into a big tzaddik, and now you're falling for this? This is just a further expression of the man's rama'ut, that's all. Why should you believe him? Or the Medrash says, the other men of Shaul said, yeah, great tzaddik. What would happen if he would have killed you? We're 3,000 men here, you know? What would they have done? We would have found them, and then they would have been, we would have, the language of the Medrash is, we would have eaten him broiled. We would have been so lean at Bizarro. He would have barbecued him. So what's the big tzitkis that he did that? And so they put doubt again. Put a doubt into Shaul's mind. And this question of doubt is what's been haunting him from the beginning. He's just been doubtful. Doubtful about his own suitability for the Malchut. Doubtful about the nature of Amalek, which is the essence of doubt. That's the gematria of Sophic, as we pointed out. Doubtful about David's intent. Doubtful about the reliability of everybody around him. Doubtful about whether David really, really cared about him. But what is important is that this wasn't just another opportunity for Shaul. David takes this event, as we're going to see. There was a change in David's entire attitude. Why? Because he sees it as the Malchut having been given over to him by Shaul. Now, in a sense, this is what he's been waiting for. Because what he said to his men when they were there in the Ma'ara, this guy is the Mashiach Hashem. As the Mashiach Hashem, the fact that there was somebody else that was Nimshach, but meanwhile, he's Melech. Until the Malchut is handed over, so he's still the Melech. This is the first time that the Malchut was actually handed over. The fact that Yonatan said, I want you to be king, and I would like to serve you as second in command, and so on, that's all very nice, but Yonatan wasn't king, and Memela didn't really have any legal ability to do that, philosophical ability to do that. He was talking about a hope. But Shaul said, I know that you are really meant to be the Melech. And originally, the way that Shmuel's Nevi'ut was expressed was by the tearing of a coat. You were the one who tore the coat. And in that sense, you're the one who's now walking off with the Malchut that Shmuel had given to you. And indeed, in this parak, the first thing that we learn in a separate parasha, if you look at the way the book is constructed, is Vayomot Shmuel, Shmuel dies. Now, the death of Shmuel, the truth is, later on we're going to be told, who Shmuel mate. And the Medrash says the death of Shmuel, as a fact, is what we mention later. The only reason we talk about Vayomot Shmuel here is because it defines the events to come. That's the point. The real Shmuel mate, as a statement of this is the end of Shmuel, we haven't reached. So when it says here, Vayomat Shmuel, Vayikaptsu Ko Yisrael, Vayispidulo, Vayikberu Beveto Berama, Vayokom, Yom David Vayered El Midbar Parat. First of all, it says that Shmuel died. Everyone gets together, are maspidim, and are koverim in his house in Ramah. Now, does that mean that the hesped was only at the time that they were yikru bebeito Ramah? Say Chazal, no. There were two completely different issues here. Everyone recognized this is the Shmuel that used to go from place to place, to every city. So what are we going to do? We're going to make one hesped? He deserves that every mokum that he was should be maspidim, and then he should be taken to kvura bebeito Ramah. But as far as where the hesped was, as we said, kol makom shohu beito imo. So the kvura was in the bayit Ramah, but the hesped was in all of his batim, and so to speak. And all of his batim were in every city in Yisrael. As the Medrash points out, once you're bitten by a snake, you don't want to get bitten again. And the memory of what happened with the Yehoshua, when there was not a proper hesped, and over there it says, Gash alayim ahar, and they wanted to destroy Yisrael, they didn't want that to happen again. So they were makpid on every last detail of what would be ro'i for hespedim of someone on the darga of Shmuel. Okay, so everybody gets together for the kvura, but also everybody was sofed at the time in their place. How does this relate to the next piece? Vayokum David Vayered El Midbar Paran. So obviously the death of Shmuel meant something to David in terms of the actual maisa that he's supposed to do. So that he no longer was hiding out in the mitzodot of En Gedi, protecting himself. He now begins acting like a melech. Goes out to the midbar, and we're going to see that in the midbar, he starts protecting the shepherds and the people that are out in the midbar. Not only that, but he actually goes on the offensive. So instead of hiding out from Shaul, remarkably, he goes looking for Shaul. He starts to disturb his mental state, to drive him crazy, because now he senses that he really is Melech, and it's time for this to end. And because of that, he almost makes a disastrous mistake. And it's the confrontation with that mistake and the recognition that there are two completely different levels in the Mashiach of Shmuel. Now that Shmuel is gone, it seems like the story is over. Shmuel did his job. David obviously understands this to be part of the previous story. Shaul gave me over the Mashiach. I called him the Mashiach Hashem. He says, I know that Malochtim Lochata. Now Shmuel dies. Okay, there's a reason for that. The story is completed. Shmuel couldn't live, as the Gemara teaches us, to see the end of Shaul, and therefore in his death no longer is providing the moral basis for the Malchus of Shaul, and now it's time for me to start becoming active as Melech. Okay, so he goes directly to the Midbar, and he's protecting all of these people. And this is the small Gar'in, it's the seed of the Malchut to come. Now, what happened was, to bring out how wrong he was, is that there was an Ish b'Ma'on, u'maser b'Charmel. There was a man now who lived in Ma'on, but had vast holdings, all in the area of the Carmel, Yehuda, which we saw before. It's called Carmel because it's such a rich, fertile area. That's the meaning of Carmel, is that it's filled to the brim with the riches of the spring. Via Ish Gadol Ma'od. Now this guy is extremely chashev. Everybody looks up to him. V'lotzon shloshet alafim ve'elafizim. So he's got 3,000 sheep and he's got 1,000 goats. Vayi b'gizozet zono b'Carmel. And he goes, and every year he would do this. He would go out. It was shearing time. And at the end of the shearing time, they would make this big party. And that was like celebration that everything is in. The guy's name is a surprising name. Shema Ish Naval. Now, there's no more awful name than Naval, except, as the Medrash points out, and look how we have been working towards this. Naval spells Lavan backwards. And we've been pointing out all along how the question of the... This is a Medrash. So the Ramaut issues. The question of how Michal was treating it. The doubts about, and we're going to see there's references that are made literally by David. It would use in Divrei Hayomim, using the same words that Lavan used. Vayochach emet. Or we saw Lo Natan Hashem Laharali. That was exactly the Mice of Salam HaKlokot. America, and that's what Galeid is. Right? But God appeared to me and said, you can't hurt him. That's exactly what was happening over here. And so we find the Lavan issue is in this guy expressed in Navlut. So Lavan was always presenting himself as white, but was actually a Naval. This man is called Naval, which we're going to make reference to later. V'shem Ishto Avigayim. Now the woman, you see. It's called Abigail. Abigail is almost the opposite of the meaning of Naval. A Naval is a dark, low, into himself person. Abigail is a sense of celebration about life, of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the source of pure joy. Ve'isha tovat sechel, she has deep insight. She's beautiful. Yefat toar. Ve'ish kasheh v'rama alalim. This is a tough old son of a. And Rama Alalim is Maisim were bad. Vuhu Cholbi. This has a double meaning. First of all, it means, as we've seen all along, he keeps referring, there's a doggy undertone to everything in the story, and that's because Cholev, indeed, is the one, as we will see in Divrei HaYomim, who is part of the ancestry of David. And he views the family, Cholbi, the simple meaning is that he's a Cholibi, he's from the family of Cholev, which means he's related to David. So David sees himself as being connected to this man.
That Kolev
inherited. It's around the area of Hebron, yeah. That's he inherited Dafka. Dafka around Hebron and not Hebron itself. So he's part of the family of Kolev, which would make sense that the family holding would be in this area. And so David felt comfortable in seeing in him a primary source of support from Yehuda, its family, and so on. And for the first time, remember, when it came back to what happened over there in the earlier story, in which no matter what he would do for people in the Kilah, whatever he was doing, the fact that people would give him away, that he didn't think was wrong, because Shaul was king and they were loyal to the king. But now we see a tremendous change in his attitude. And here there's one guy, Vaishma David Bamibaki goes is Navalatsano. So now it's happy time. So David sends 10 of his men, Vaishach David Asra Naarim, Vayomer David Naarim, look, go up to the Carmel and batem el Naval. Give him my best regards, using my name, and you should tell him, David gives you a bracha, kol lechoy, this should be your bracha for the future, v'ata shalom, u'beitcha shalom, v'chol asher lecha shalom, and this is a great bracha from the man who's supposed to be Melech Yisrael. Now you should know that in Divrei HaYomim, remarkably, right here at this point, when he goes to Midbar Ma'on, a lot of the other Shvatim join up. So instead of having just a few men that he had, there are people that are coming from God, and there's people that are coming from Yehuda, and people that are coming from Binyamin, and David is worried about their loyalty, because he's afraid that Shaul is sending all kinds of spies. He doesn't know and he speaks out openly, you know, that he's very happy to have them, but it's got to be with a clear-cut sense of absolute loyalty to him. And there Amasa, who is the Rosh HaShalishim, says these exact words to David. Vata shalom, betcha shalom, kol echai. Word for word what David says over here to Naval. So in other words, David viewed these words as being the blessings of a melech to his people and the interrelationship of the people to the melech. So to show how much they loved him, they said this to him. It doesn't bring the other part. It's remarkable. So it's almost the mirror image of what's happening here. In the story of Shmuel, we're interested in seeing how little people were machir. In the story in Divrei HaYomim, we're interested in seeing, because Divrei HaYomim is the story of the building of the Malchut, not the problems of the Malchut. So Lamaisa, over here, he's the one who tries to support the people with exactly the same words that the people support him there, and what happens is they end up being spit back in his face. So continue telling the man, Naval, says David, quote from him, Vata now shamati, he goes, Zimlach, I hear that you're doing your shearing now. Oh, that's great. Ata haroim asher lecha, ayu imanu, lo yechlamnum, velo nifkad lemu'uma, ko yimehei otam becharmel, word for word, the love and Yaakov discussion, right? As long as I was with your sheep, there was never a missing sheep. I always took care of it, says David. I always took care of your sheep. I always took care of your men. They were under our protection. Shalit narech, ask them. Ask them v'yagidu lach, they'll tell you. And therefore, I ask you today, after all, this is a double meaning. We read it as if it writes Banu, we came because of the Yontov that you're making for your Na'arim. But as we would say in English, we're building this on the fact that. So we use the word Banu in the writing, right? So what I'm telling you is, Tnana et asher timtza yadecha le'avadecha ulvincha le'David. Now, the levincha le'David is exactly the words that Shaul had used. So this cannot be a coincidence. He's coming directly from Hakochaze Beni David. Now he wants the populace, especially his own relatives, to support him as a personal support. I don't want to lord it over you. I want there to be a relationship of warmth. I'm giving you a bracha. You should participate with my na'orim, who are, after all, your protection and the incipient army of Klal Yisrael. And so it makes sense that this should be our relationship. This
is a statement of extreme vulnerability, right? I mean, you tell a guy who's a big man, everybody knows him, and you tell him, you know, I want to be your adopted son, so to speak.
You want to be my patron.
Yeah, patron literally. Beautiful. Thor points out that in actuality, how is it that with a name like Naval, and with the insight that David should have had into what type of person this is, how is it that indeed he gave a brocha like this, Kol Achai, Ata Shalom, Mitcha Shalom? Didn't David understand that at least you have to be careful to say Kol Achai to give a brocha that he should live? Therefore explains the Zohar, and we're going to see Rambam to this later on, that actually all of this was Rosh Hashanah. What happened was that Erev Rosh Hashanah, he had gone and sent the boys in order to be able to be Naitel the Su'udas Rosh Hashanah from Naval. Notes the Zohar. You'll notice that it doesn't say Ata Shalom. It says Viata Shalom. What is Viata Shalom? You're talking to him. Therefore, says the Zohar, Viata is entirely, all of this is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Bakosh of Kol Achai is because now in Rosh Hashanah, the dinim of the Shana to come is being decided, whether a person will be Zaycha to see the Rosh Hashanah to come. So that when a person gives a brocha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though to an Adam who's a Rosh, it's also to be Makdim Shalom. If you give Shalom, it's only in the context of giving Shalom to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was Naval who assumed that this was a bracha to him. Asks the Tzar, is that not Ramaut? And is that not the whole issue of Naval being Lavan, as we explained before? Says the Tzar, no, because whoever speaks in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu about things that are expressions that could come out in the world, because a tzaddik indeed, someone who's makdim shalom to a tzaddik, says the Tzar, is the equivalent of being makdim shalom to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the potential, and this was the opportunity for Naval, and remember that on Rosh Hashanah we need to deal with those things that are indeed most menuval. Would it be mahapich the ro'ol teva? This was David HaMelech that was giving an opportunity for Novel's tikkun within the context of his malchus that could be mitayer, that which had until now been red, bloody, and destructive. And so there was no Ramaut involved at all. And that's why we find that these words, Ramatim Kol Achai, is indeed the psak that's reflected backwards in Divrei HaYomim onto David himself.
So they say over their speech, and they're waiting for the results. Yeah, he's saying, but you know, we've helped you, now give them things for support of the army. Who's David? You mean the Ben Yishai kid? You mean me, David? Me, Ben Yishai? Hayom rabu avadim amit partzim ish b'pnei adam. There's lots of people today. It's a time in which kids don't know their place. There's lots of avadim that stick it into the face of their masters. Shaul is king. This guy's been playing this little game for too long already. I'm supposed to go v'lakach et lachmi v'et meimai. I'm supposed to take my supplies, my bread, my water, which really means my yayin, take all of the meat now that I've prepared for my su'uda, for my men, and give it to some madman that I've never seen before, and I haven't the slightest idea if maybe they're not even human. And give them natati l'anashim shelo yadati, and he say, I don't know where you guys come from. As far as I know, you all may all be mutants. Vayavchu nare David ledarkam. They don't answer him. They simply turn right around. Vayashuvu, vayavo, vayagidolo kecholat vorim. They tell over to David what the man said. Now, this was like the undermining of the whole population. I mean, this gets out. Obviously, this is the guy who is most chasher for the year. This is the biggest slap in the face you could possibly give him. He's attempting now to create a malchus that is built on personal relationships and concern and all of the things that Yosef had built his malchus on. And instead, he gets a spit in the face.
And if Naval didn't want with
Yehuda, that's exactly the issue. So now, David, as opposed to Shaul, because this is exactly what happened when Shaul was making. The lashon of Naval is, according to Medrash, you mean two drops of oil on his head? Because of two drops of oil, is that what he's relying on? Shaul's dead already. You know, his two drops of oil didn't go very far. And that was like David HaMelech had said before. Niyamarti bechavzi kol adam kozev, including Shaul. He himself doubted it. So Naval comes along and says, so because of these two drops of oil, which
obviously never happened. He clearly wasn't suitable for the Malchut. Never was able to take over the Malchut. So I'm supposed to waste my money on a dead game. No way. So now what happened was is that Shaul, when they said exactly that to him, exactly words, who is Shaul, they said. This guy's going to be the one that's going to save us. Who is he? Well, because Shmuel went ahead, it was Moshechim. So that makes him king. That's all you need to be king. There's a couple drops of oil on your head. That's crazy. To be a king, you need to be a king. This guy's not a king. And Vayikamach Harish. He didn't respond. That non-response, David understood to be the source of everything that went wrong. It was because he was constantly dependent on the people, unwilling to assert himself over the people. That's where it started to go wrong, and it wasn't going to happen to him. So he tells his men, that's it, this guy's dead. So he says to his men, put on your guns. Everybody clicks their gun belt on. We're going to learn from this discussion between David and his men, halacha, in Dinei Sanhedrin. As the Mishnah says, when you do Dinei Nefashos, you always start from the ktanim, the youngest people, in order that it shouldn't be, if the gadol says one thing that is chayev, then we're afraid that maybe they'll go along with him because they don't want to say otherwise. So the reason that it says, v'yachgor gam David et charbo, is because he waited to see what they would paskin first, and then he paskin along with them. This is the makor. V'yomer le'David la'anashav ki gru ish et charbo, which is always a reference to the cherif, in the Lechama of Terah and paskening the Halacha. And then at the end, Vayagor Gam David et Harbo, meaning that they paskin that he has a din of Amorid B'Mahut. At this point, David had a right to go and to kill him. Vayalu Achare David, and he takes with him the original 400 men. Those were the 400 men that we saw came with Esav. This was their Zechut. And because they had left Esav, they go to the other Admoni. And he leaves the other two on. La Avigail Eshet Naval. Here is the brilliant wife of Naval Avigail. The opposite of him in every way. When Naval was Minubal, she was, as we said, a woman of great strength, character, and deep insight. One of the boys who had witnessed this event from the household came running to her to warn her what had happened. And so the Higid Na'ar Echad Mehana'arim Lemor, Hinei Shalach David Malachim Mehamidbar Levarechet Adonenu. You should know that David had sent messengers from the desert to give a blessing to our master, Naval. Vayah. And he came down on them until he chased them away. These guys were wonderful to us. They protected us. They were with us the entire time, together, all the time that we were out the pasture. They were like a fence of strength to protect us. Again, the same way that Yaakov Avinu had spoken to Lavan. All the time, during the entire season that they were out there, Viata, and now I warn you, the Iura'i, you've got to use your best insights here and figure out what to do. Mata siki chalta ra'al adonenu v'yalkob leitoz, there's no question about it. David's not going to let this go by, and it could mean the end of your entire family. And certainly no point in talking to that idiot, Naval, v'hu ben belial midaber elav. He is too much of a son of a gun to be able to even talk to him. Just act before it's too late. V'tamer Avigail, and so she immediately responds. V'tikach matayim lechem, takes 200 loaves of bread, ushnayim nivleyayin, 2 containers, now large containers, skin containers of wine, v'chamech tzon asuyot, 5 sheep that were stuffed, filled with all types of ground meat, and so on. Again, all these words, everything is viewed as being nogel, halacha, what is the pshat asuyot? The Gemara Chulin learns from here that this is the shear of the mitzvahs that have to do with some, in terms of the matonais, or in terms of reishis hageis, so that everything that this woman does teaches us things. V'chamech sa'im kali, 5 large bushel containers of parched grains, which can be used for a long time, left out. Umeyat simukim, 100 clusters. They would dry the grapes on the clusters of raisins. Umatayim develim, and 200 cakes of crushed figs, pressed figs. Vatasem ala chamorim, and she makes an entire train of donkeys carrying all of this. Vatomer lena'areha, just as Yaakov Avinu had said when he had to face the 400 men, he said to his men, "Go in front, and I'll come after you, and each one should be mechazik." Next, she said to her boys, "Ivrula fanai, you walk in front. I'm going to be coming all the way at the end." She said nothing to her man Naval. She was on her way now, riding on a chamor, coming down in the secret ways to the darkness of the mountain. David and his men are coming down in the other direction. And she meets. Meanwhile, David is saying, it's not in the meeting, David is saying, so, it's now for nothing. It's all lies that I've been taking care of these people. This was meant to be the building of relationships and the building of a future. And this is what he does. He pays me back in this way. Now, fact is that Chazal go back to the things that were taking place before the actual meeting to show the Ramazim to what actually does take place later in the meeting, and actually is talked about here because, in a sense, this is what was going through her mind, and this was the what it was that was happening behind the scenes, beneath the level of consciousness and the between the lines of the text. So first of all, we need to recognize that the word hirochevet al hachamor is something that usually we're very careful not to use when it comes to women, because the word rochevet, as the Gemara points out, is a reference directly to the way in which she would have to split her legs in order to be able to sit. And that's why we always find that when it comes to a woman, the Torah is mishana the rochevet into a yoshevet, even though the same pasuk referring to a man would be talking about rechiva. Answers the Gemara, well, it's different over here because it needed to be berechiva, either because it was so dark and she was afraid she would fall, or because they were going down the mountain, she was terrified of falling off, or she was simply terrified of David himself. So in other words, the pasuk is going out of its way to use this word in order to teach us the state of mind that she was in, that she was trembling, that she couldn't sit straight, that she was terrified of falling in every way, of being destroyed by this meeting. And it says here that she was b'seter ahar. We read it b'seter ahar. Why does it say b'seter ahar, asks the Gemara Megillah? Why not just min ahar? Therefore, says the Gemara, that it means that she came and pretended to be asking a she'ela about sitarim, about dam nidot, that comes from inside. And he looked at her like she was crazy. It's the middle of the night. How am I supposed to be able to know the color of this dam, to be able to pass it? And this psak was something that David HaMelech was always osik in throughout his life, as the Gemara says. He himself mentions HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yadai meluch lachot, bedam, b'shvir, b'shilya, so that he used to be pasketing all of the dinim that had to do with being matir ishala v'ala, in order to be able to find klois, that it should be okay for a woman to go back to her husband. But how can I do that? It's nighttime, she says to him, is it? Last I heard, you're not dan dinei nefashot balayla either. And so David said to her, according to Rishami, David said to her, but we're not pasking. The din was pasking in the daytime, that he's a married b'malchus, according to the Gemara in the Bavli, in Megillah. He said to her, we don't need to have a psak halacha. A married b'malchus is by definition killed by the king and not by Sanhedrin, and therefore those dinim don't apply to a married b'malchut. And here is the crucial moment, because it was David who had fooled himself into believing that he was truly a melech. Why? Because exactly about what Naval had made fun of. Two drops of oil? You think that makes you a king? Shmuel? Shmuel's dead. He certainly didn't do very much for him. In David's mind, the fact that Shaul had given over the malchut, that's sufficient? Shaul is still acting like melech. No, my boy, there's lots of kids who believe that they're Superman. The truth is, in order for a melech to be a melech, on the level that you, David, want malchut, the opposite of a malchut, that is shu'ulah, that comes because it's been appointed from outside, the only way is to respond by waiting. And when the time comes, you will be king. And the less that you do to advance that cause, the more a king you will be. But the more blood that is on your hands that can possibly be seen as pursuit of the end of malchut for yourself, the more hopeless your position will be. This is exactly what Shaul did, and everybody knows it. He was exposed as a sham. He was exposed as a melech hafach v'chan, as the Medrash puts it, exactly the same as Achashverosh, the paranoid Achashverosh, melech hafach v'chan. He keeps changing his mind, running back and forth between love and hate, between giving you this daughter and giving you that daughter, and in the end taking away both daughters from you, as we'll see. This is not what you want to be. You want to be a king forever. You want to be a king that will be a king, Liyamotza Mashiach, that will be Ben David. And the only way to do that is to be the king in the ultimate sense of the emergent king, that as humanity grows, you will grow along with it, and never have been seen asserting something from the outside in order to be the opposite of Shaul. And indeed, as we'll see in the dialogue, it is here that David learns that he has made a terrible, terrible error, and thank God was saved just in time. David amarach la sheker shamarti et kol asher lazeh bamidbar v'lo nifkad mikol asher lo meuma v'yashev li ra'ah tachat tovah. This is the way that a guy responds to me, in which I do everything for him, never asked anything of him, and he tries to undermine everything that's being achieved. Let me tell you right now, ko ya'aseh Elohim lo yaveh David v'cho yosif. May God do is to his enemies what he means is to him, if I don't respond to this. Im ashir mikol asher lo ad haboker mashtin bekir. If there's anything left of this man, now once again we're referring to dogs, according to one man the Yomar, that urinate against the wall, so it's the kolev issue again. Or, as the other man the Yomar says, it's little boys who are always urinating on the wall, which teaches us that B'nai Banim are responsible just like the granddad is. He said he was going to wipe out the whole family. I won't leave a kid alive to your family, lady. Vatera Avigail et David. Vatamaher vatered mi alachamor. Vatipola pe David alpanea vatishtachu aret. So on one level, there's an indication of an interaction of the Seter Har before. But the Pasuk wants to bring out what David is thinking and what she is thinking. So we haven't described yet in the Pasuk their meaning. These are the words of minds. Now she sees him. She jumps now off of the chamor. Vatipola pe David apaneha. She falls on her face in front of David. Vatishtachu aretz. Vatipola raglav. She falls on his feet and she says, Vatomer, be ani adoni avon. It's all my fault. Everything that happened is my fault. Now, of course it wasn't her fault. But she's saying it's her fault because now he has to listen to what she's saying. I'm not coming to discuss my husband. This is about me. About you? Yes, it's about me. It's all my fault, and I am terribly sorry. Let me explain. I need you to listen carefully to what I'm saying, because what I'm saying is important for you. Al na yasim aduni et libo al ish habliya al azeh. Al naval ki chishmo kenu. Naval shmo nevalayimo. You should never have gone to a guy like that. A man that has a name like that, something's wrong with him. Don't you understand? You risk this yourself. Ve'ani amatcha lo ra'iti et na'arei Adoni asher shalachta. Why'd you send it to him? You always should have come to me. Ve'ata Adoni, chai Adonai v'chei nafshecha, asher b'na'acha Adonai mibo v'damim v'oshea yadecha lach. And now I want to tell you something. I swear to God. You know which God? The God that just saved your life. Because you met me, you're going to be okay. But if you don't listen to me, you're not going to be okay. Atai yuchin aval oivecha mevakshim el Adoni ra'ah. I can tell you one thing. Let everybody be like Naval, meaning this guy is going to drop dead. That's the last thing you have to worry about, is to be the one to cut off his head. May all of your enemies end up the way Naval is going to be. But the difference is that you are not the one that's going to do it. Think about what destroyed Shaul. As long as Shaul was fighting the wars of Yisrael, everything is great. The moment he started to fight internal wars, and now he decides we have to get rid of Nov, Yerakonim, and they're Morid B'Malchus, and so on and so forth, there's no more of the Malchus here, my dear boy. Why? Because as the Gemara puts it, Adayin lo yatzat tivacha ba'olam. You think that Malchus is served simply because of the fact that Shmuel had been Moshe Avihu, and you were waiting for Shaul to give you over the Malchus, and now you're the Malach. Once you're the Melech, now everybody is b'chuyev to be mechabed you, and if not, you're married to Malchus. But that's not true, because Malchus also demands the fact that people recognize you as a Melech. You can't say to someone who doesn't recognize with you, as long as Shaul is alive, that he's a married to Malchus when you haven't become the Melech. And therefore, what you're trying to do is you're trying to go mad, like Shaul. You're taking this personally. And if you take this personally, you will destroy your Melech. You won't be building your Melech. And I'm telling you right now, God is helping you today by meeting me, to be Moshia your hand for yourself by not acting. That's the whole point. Now listen to me. Son of the Fesha Amatecha. Just, it's my fault. Forgive me. Ki asu yaseh Adonai laduni bayit ne'eman. Promise you that you are going to be king. A bayit ne'eman you will have ki milchamot Adonai. Adonai nilcham. V'ra'a loti matzevecha miyamecha. Make certain that no ra'a, such as the kind that it was found in Shaul, should ever be found in you. That people can turn around and say, this is the murderer who went ahead and destroyed the bayit of Naval because he spoke to him improperly. Your business is to be fighting the milchamot Hashem, and that's what you've been doing, and that's what your future is dependent on. Vayakom Adam lirdavcha ulevakesh et nafshecha. There has been this man, Shaul. Who is the one that's been searching for you to destroy you? This is
He's an Adam. He's not the Melech. ICU is the Melech. Vaitan nefesh Adoni. There's no way that anybody is going to kill you. Don't you understand? Your soul is tzura b'tzura chayim et Adonai Elohecha. That is a given. You need to be that and only that. To worry about nefesh oivecha. That nefesh oivecha yikal ena b'toch kaf hakola. The same kela that you use, the slingshot that you use to destroy Goliath. That's the dogma of, as the Gemara puts it, a malach is aimed at one side of the universe, takes that neshama, throws it out to the other side, and they play catchball with the neshamot of your enemies. This is not your worry. Ve'ayaki yaseh Adonai laduni, kechola shediber et hatova alech. And when indeed it happens, as you will see, that my neviyut is mitkayemet, v'tzivcha v'nagida Yisrael, and you become king, v'lo tiyeh zot lecha lefukar lemichshol, let this not be something which will turn your heart. This will be a source of your undoing, to spill blood for no reason. As I said before, it's a chance of saving yourself if you listen to me. And when that happens, as the Gemara says it, this is the little goose that looks down, but the eyes are looking up. When that happens, don't forget me. Obviously, on the surface, you'll see that every word that I say is right. But what it's also saying is, we're meant to be together. Don't worry about this Naval guy. So here Chazal learned out clearly, she's a Neviyah. Because what he must have been saying, it says that she uncovered her arm for a moment, and the light just lit up the entire night. And he was immediately turned on to her. And he says to her, how about if we start right now? So she says to him, this should not be the source of your downfall. You can have another woman that's going to do that to you. This was another part of her neviyut. But let not, the day will come. This guy's going to drop dead, I'm telling you right now. But when that happens, send me a message. I'll be there. And indeed, I mean, it's amazing because I'll say this lashon is a lashon of hell. Poku pelilia is a concept of hell itself. Let not hell be open for you. But it's a beautiful article by Lewis Thomas, the famous biologist, who points out that the four-letter word that is most common in English is found in every language as a sign of utter horror. Remarkable. So in every language, that sound of fuka is a sense of hell, of evil, of viciousness. And it occurs over here exactly as he wants to be nichshal in her. So she says, let this not be that which fukas up your life, and lands you up in pelilia, poku pelilia, which is a lashon of going straight to hell. You have enough problems in your life. Wait until the moment. The moment will come. And he is so moved by this, as we pointed out earlier, that here is one person who understands everything that he's been going through in such a personal way, in such an intensely committed way, what he was looking for from Nabal. David bin Ha suddenly becomes what he gets from Abigail a million times over. And he is completely shattered. I mean, he realizes what has happened to him mentally because of the pressure, and not realizing that she's 100% right. How could this have happened? Vayomer David la Abigail, inconsistent with his entire vision of life, of responsiveness, of being able to recognize the things that have gone into making him wrong. Baruch Adonai Elohei Yisrael Asher Shelachech Hayom Aseh Lekrati. Indeed, you are right. It was the same God that you were nishbat that was going to save me. I bless him for sending you. This isn't coming from you. This is, I see this as a message. Message straight min HaShamayim. Uvaruch, and then as far as you, Baruch Tameh Uvrucha Atka. Your taste, you as a human being, you should just be blessed. Asher Chilitini Hayom Aseh Mibo B'damim. You saved me today. I would have found myself surrounded in blood. God, this is also in two senses, murder and sleeping with you. Just as you said, to save my own hands against myself. Here I thought I was going to support myself. I was going to destroy myself. I swear to God, because it's very important to make it clear, because he already had cursed himself. He says, but I want to make it very clear. There was no hesitation in me at all. I was going to wipe out your family. If you hadn't rushed here and done this wild thing of coming in the middle of the night down a mountain in the darkness with all of this stuff,
I swear, Kim Notar Leneval Adot Boker Mashkin Bekir, there wouldn't have been any member of your family left. Not a dog and not a kid. Veikach David Meyadai Tasher Hevialo. And so David takes from her hands what it is that she had brought. Velo Omar Lila Shalom Leveteh. Re'i Shamati Vekolech Ve'asevanai. Go up in peace to your home. And behold, I listened to you, remember. And I have been no seponim, which is an invitation when the day comes to actually be mekabel ponim. Vatovo Avigail al Naval. So she comes back to Naval. He's in the middle of getting drunk in his mishteh. V'hineh lo mishteh b'veitor k'mishteh ha-melech. Oh, he's put it on like a king. That's the point. He really was Moreh b'melech. So he was living like a king. V'leiv Naval tov alav. This guy is really feeling big about himself. So he's high. V'shikor admo. The guy is totally drunk around his house. V'lo yigid alo davar katan v'gadol ad or boker. She doesn't say a word to him until it's the morning and he's completely gone with a hangover. She tells him over the whole story. He hears the whole story that she went on her own, took his things, went to his enemy, that he was about to be wiped out. The whole thing is just like he has a heart attack. Which Chazal said, this is the aser you made to Shuvah. They gave him an opportunity to start an Erev Rosh Hashanah. So 10 days later, it's basically the end of Aseret Hayamim, aser you made to Shuvah, where the guy could have done Teshuvah, or others say it was the 7 days of the Avelut of Shmuel, and then he was sick for 3 days and died. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to be Ma'arev to do Inyani. And Vayigov Adonai et Naval Vayomot. Vayishma Davai Kemet Naval, and indeed David hears that Naval dropped dead. And this, of course, made a tremendous impact on everybody, in which David didn't need to act. HaKadosh Baruch Hu battled his battles. And saved his Eved, me, from doing evil with his hands. This was David's point from then on. In the same way that before he refused to act against Shaul when Shaul was delivered into his hands. Because it's not my business to be Kena the Malchus from Shaul. He realized the same thing is true. It's not his business to be king of the Malchus from anybody. He didn't need to assert the Malchus. The whole point of his Malchut, as opposed to Malchut Shaul, which was Shaul, it was a Malchut Shaulah, was to allow the Malchut to evolve, never to assert it. So what for Shaul was a chisaron, for him was a ma'ala. Don't assert. Let it happen. You already are a melech, she said to him. So then it's just a question of allowing it to develop, not to make it happen. And so he was memvorech, now remembering Avigail. And ra'at Naval Shiva Dunai Berosho, Vaishlach David Vaidaber Vavigail, the Kachtalo Leisha. So he immediately sends to take Avigail as a wife. Vayavo Avde David al Avigail, a Carmela, Vaidabru Ele Alemor, David Shalachunu Eleich, Lekachtech Lo Leisha. Vatokom Vatishtachu Apayamarta, she gets up and she bows the floor. Vatomer Hinea Matrale Shifcha, Birchot Ragle Avde Aduni. I view myself as nothing but a Shifcha who would be happy to be connected to your master David by washing your feet. Because I don't view myself as coming in as a malka. I view myself, as I said to him then, Halavai, you should remember me. Vatmaher vatokom avigayel, vatirkav ala chamor, v'chei chamesh na'arotea ha'okot ragla, vatelech achrei malachei David, vatilo le'isha. This was true love.
Remarkably, David took that Achinoam. Now we met before another Achinoam, and who was that? That was Shaul's wife. And it's put straight up there at the beginning of the discussion, Achinoam together with Avner, to mention that these are the center of Shaul's life. So not only did he take another woman as a wife, and that was a replacement for the Michal, who was, after all, the king's daughter, and all of the godless of David up until this point had been the fact that it was Chatan HaMelech. Now he comes and he takes Avigail, and he takes Achinoam, Lekach David miYisrael. Both of them become also his wives. Beloved, as we'll see later on, these were profound loves that he is actually referring to when he talks about how his love for Yonatan is greater than love for women. Women refers to these two women. So that there were two very special women in his life. And then, of course, when Shaul saw what had happened, that no longer does David view himself as the coming from Shaul, the Chatan HaMelech, which in Shaul's mind was the only excuse that he would have any gedula at all. Shaul asked Doreg HaAdomi, what's the din of Michal, my daughter, now that he's done this? So Doreg said, well, he's obviously a Morid B'Malchut in doing such a thing, and he's rejecting the king, in which case his din is L'mavet. If his din is L'mavet, so then it's as if he already died. If he already died, his wife is Muteret, and therefore let us give her to somebody else. And he takes V'Shaul Natan et Michal Bito Eshet David and gives her to another man. The Falti Ben Laish Asher Migalim. There's many, many things about Falti Ben Laish. It goes all the way back to the Bechir of David in the first place, in which we see Falti Ben Laish later on. We'll see the greatness of him, that he never touched this woman. He could not afford not to pretend to be married to her because of Shaul, so that they would live together at least vis-a-vis the outside world as man and wife, but he actually put a sword in his bed to lay down the line that anybody who crosses it dies, so that neither of them would ever touch each other. There are some who say that, indeed, he never really had been Mekadesher, because it was a mistake. He had been Mekadesher thinking that it was in return for being Merchol, the Yashrenu HaMelech Osher Gadol, that he never got, and even though he added the Orlot Plishtim, as we mentioned earlier, the issue over here is whether it has a din of a Kaddish B'milveh. So that it could be that indeed he was never married to her Bechlal. Here the Mashmaut is indeed, Gam Shtehem Lo L'Nashim, that it means them, but not Michal. These, both of these were his wife, but not Michal. But in any event, it's clear from the very name Palti that he was Plupalut, that he was saved from any chait, and indeed he's held up to be from the greatest of tzaddikim, and is compared with the story of Ruth and Boaz itself, in which Ruth and Boaz also did not sleep together, despite the fact that he told her, Lini Alayla, and she stayed with him the entire night, just like Palti ben Laish stayed for all these years.